The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
How are we all doing this morning? Anybody, God's speaking to anybody? God's been nudging anybody about anything in particular that you want to share?
I said, like Tracy was saying last time, especially if you've been a Christian a long time, be kind.
All right. Yeah. Anybody else?
Be not afraid.
Well, okay. Any particular reason why that for you?
I've been up all night, and I went to the art gallery for, you know, I've been always, for me, I know my husband, for adoption, and I was just looking at the art gallery, and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning while doing my paperwork. So, and then I said, I'm tired of this paperwork, I'm just going to go to art gallery, and then there it is, there for children is for adoption. So he's always directing. He's always nudging me towards that direction. So I just pray that he will keep pushing me to have that courage and be not afraid. And I just pray that it's going to be both of us, that it's not just me, but both of us. So, and that's 4. And I pray that He will keep guiding us on what we need to do, but that's just the courage and not being afraid, despite of our age, despite of numbers. Because God has been faithful to us. Scott is getting better. He's just making us be see if we take the step to take care. And with his guidance, and he always directs us to that. I know it's not going to be easy, but God makes it a straight path. And I'm not very good with the way I finish my tablet. I'm not a computer savvy, but that's actually just my weakness. So that's why I'm up 4 o'clock in the morning doing something, my paperwork. So it's just that's what he's just telling me, stop and just see, because it's what I'm calling for you to do and look at it. So
That's good. Did you say 4?
1 is 6.
Okay.
1
4.
Yeah,
that's jumping right. Come on. Jump in. The deep end.
It's actually 6.
6.
4, 6, 11, 16.
4, 6, 11, and 16. There's no... Let's just get baptized right there. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
If someone can do 8 children. Someone took 8 children.
Someone took 8?
Yes, so...
Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's good.
So, reminding me from what John was saying last week, I saw a bumper sticker, and it simply said, "Be nice. Jesus said so."
That's good. Anybody else? Oh, boy. All kinds of people here.
I was reading, I think it was in Matthew 4, where the devil tries to tempt Jesus, and it's a good reminder of how relentless he can be. You know, he knows that he's the Son of God, and he's like, "Huh, if you are that guy, do this." And like, why would he try that? Why try to do that to Jesus? And like, how much more is he going to try to do that to us? But it's a good reminder that the Bible says, in any trial or temptation, there's always a way out, and God would never test you beyond what you can bear. So it's just like, you know, be strong in the midst of tough times.
That's a good word. Okay, let's see. One more back here that I saw.
Last week you were saying that John had mentioned about, you know, it's normal for us to always want to have God's blessing in our life. And then I thought of Ephesians. Of course, now we're doing it in Sunday school, but that's not a hint for Sunday school because we have so many people now we're moving out here, but Tom does an awesome job. But anyhow, in Ephesians, it says right here, and this is something we got to consider when it comes to blessings. It says in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not will or someday, but has, right, past tense, blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we need to remember that God has already blessed us in every way.
Well, that's a good word. So Jesus still speaks. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, we are in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We've been looking in this area for a little while, maybe going to finish it up this morning. And so Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And then he asks a question, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So the idea of doing justly and loving mercy, they have to doing what is right and fair, and you got to get the second part, doing what is right and fair from God's standards that He has set concerning our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. So true worship, really, then, cannot be disconnected from how we treat other people. And I think I said last week, a right relationship with God will transform your relationship with others. So it's almost like if I get this vertical relationship right, then what can happen is I can gain traction in my horizontal relationships. Because, you know, for us, this vertical relationship is always an easier relationship for some reason. And this horizontal one gets to be a little tricky sometimes. So we can't forget that a right relationship with God entails loving God and loving others. And in the context here with Micah is Micah as well as the contemporaries, which were Isaiah and Amos. These prophets, they were all speaking God's word to the people, of God's speaking to God's people, and they were speaking to them to bring attention as to how they were treating others. And basically, and specifically with the poor and the disadvantaged. And basically they said, look, you can't just avoid. You can't just choose not to care about others because it matters to God how you treat other people, how you think about other people, how you interact with other people. It matters. So we have to understand this vertical relationship, this horizontal relationship. And, you know, the people, they were, I guess you could say that they considered that they were doing these God things. And we read that the sacrifice and offerings that they were doing, thinking that they were enough. And yet, God, you know, I said this before, but when the people were getting off course, God sent prophets. So at this time, there's three of them. There's three prophets. So this is important to God. These people, these prophets, speaking on God's behalf, speaking God's word under His direction. I mean, all this is just important because it really brings emphasis. They were speaking to them and they were saying, listen, it also matters as to how we view and treat the poor and disadvantaged, and it's no different for us today. I mean, we are still called to this true religion, which is a vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. It's a vertical relationship, and it entails this horizontal relationship. Matter of fact, we're going to be jumping into 1 John next month, and John really has a lot to say about this, both of these, the vertical and the horizontal relationships and treating other people. So, again, if we think that we have this vertical relationship, and we think that it's right with God, and yet our horizontal relationships aren't there, then we still have a ways to go in getting this right, this vertical relationship, and that's okay. But as long as we have this in mind, it is understanding that this we need to be able to have this vertical relationship right. We need to have these horizontal relationships right. And then if you're not there yet, I think sometimes we give up, we beat ourselves up, think that's not in us, I can't do that. Let me just say that you can do it, it is in you. And so as long as you're understanding this, then, and you're aiming at it, you're asking God to help you walk in a way that is honoring Him in these ways, then you will continue to arrive where you need to be. James 1:27 says this, real, true religion from God the Father's perspective. I like that. Real true religion from God the Father's perspective is about caring for the orphans and the widows who suffer needlessly and resisting the evil influences of the world around you. So, you know, we have this one verse that tells us about maybe how we need to know and consider, give concern to, think about those that are poor or disadvantaged, but that's just one verse, and there's so many others. So this morning, I'm kind of wondering, if I were to ask you what is God's thoughts toward and what should be our thoughts toward the poor and disadvantaged, what would be some of your comments? What would you say? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead. Compassion. Have compassion. Somebody else? Okay. It would be a reflection of God's heart. Someone else? When you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. Okay. Someone else? You know, I looked up in was online looking for verses that talks about how we're to treat other people, how we're supposed to think about the poor, the disadvantaged, the marginalized, and there's literally hundreds of verses concerning it, so we can't just kind of overlook, we just can't put it out of our heads, and I think sometimes, you know, we think we have so much in our lives that we have to be concerned about, and this is like, okay, is this another thing? And God's going, really? No, it's really not another thing. It's always been part of the thing. Because if we're supposed to be salt and light to the world around us, if we're supposed to share His love, compassion, and kindness to the world around us, to everyone that's around us. And so as you roll through the Scriptures, there are a lot of them, but I just grabbed a few just to give a big piece. So Proverbs chapter 31 says that we should speak up for them. We should, matter of fact, it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of those that are just or who are destitute. Speak up, judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever opposes the poor just shows contempt for their maker. But whosoever is kind to the needy honors God. Matter of fact, it says in chapter 19, it says, if you're lending to the poor, it's like giving to God, and God sees that. God rewards that. Deuteronomy chapter 15, talking to the people of Israel, it says, you know, if there's anyone that is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God has given you, do not be disheartened or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend to them. there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. You know, I just have this sidebar. You know, there is a reality of the poor and needy, the poor and disadvantaged and the needy. And then there is the slothful and opportunistic. So I just felt like I got to throw that in there. And that's just when you see somebody poor, just think, no, but there's a reality that there truly are people that have needs. And how are we gonna make sure we connect to the right thing? I'm gonna be getting into that because it is our walk. It is this close walk that we have from God, hearing God, that we're gonna be able to discern what we need to do. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions, sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with just simply words or speech, but rather with actions and in truth. So as I began to think about this, I'm thinking, well, I guess our first question is about this, is how can we make sure that we don't miss out on this, that we don't miss this altogether in our lives as we're living individually. So me as an individual, how do I make sure that I don't miss out on this? Collectively, as the body of Christ here at Cross Life, how do we make sure that we don't miss out on being obedient to whatever God would be nudging us toward concerning this? And last week, I made the comment that maybe you could just start with being nicer, right? We could be more caring, have more concern. We could simply be more loving and then see where that leads to. Now, again, individually, and collectively as a body, because individually, you know, you're just in certain circles that no one else in this congregation are in, and God is dropping people in front of you, which, by the way, He is doing that. Sometimes what we need to do is just by us purposing to be nicer, purposing to just be more caring and being more loving, purposing just to ask God to kind of slow us down a little bit more, causing us, asking the Lord, just, Lord, help me be more aware. Because this really, if this is something that is on your heart, I want it to be on my heart. I don't really want to miss out on this. We all get busy in life. We can get just focused on, oh my goodness, there's this, and I got to be concerned about all this, and this is all kind of going crazy at this time in my life right now, and all these changes, and you know. But even in the midst of all that of your life, you're still walking in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship with Him, and He is still directing your life, and He's still bringing people in front of you. So God does do that. God does bring people in front of you. So Micah 6:8 then, thinking about this, doing justly and loving mercy, this last piece then, and walking humbly with your God. So let me just say it like this. If doing justly and loving mercy have to do with doing what is right and fair from God's standards and what He has set concerning our relationship with Him and others, and by living in a way that God is directing you, in a way that God might be or is nudging you, is this idea of walking humbly with your God. Now, let's kind of get into this a little bit, because walking humbly, in my mind and in the context, walking humbly is this active, passive obedience to God. So walking humbly, active, passive, think about it. So I am walking, right? But I am walking according to what God is talking to me about. I am walking in a direction that He is leading me. I am walking in a direction that He is nudging me. I'm walking, yes. But the focus of my walk and why I'm walking and why I'm walking where I'm walking isn't about my decisions about what I want. It is about how God is nudging me, how God might be drawing me, how He might be leading me in my life. Now, I thought about this for a minute, and I thought, I don't really know for sure if this is going to work, but I'm going to give this a try. So, all right, I'm a grad. Oh, sorry. Are you taking notes? Good job. All right, follow me. I had to say, he's on his phone. See, he's a techno savvy guy, and he's on his phone and he's doing what he's doing, taking notes. Appreciate that. All right, so I know I don't look anything like Jesus, right? But I'm leading. All right, so this idea of walking humbly. So here I am. What's he doing? Following. Yeah, he's following. Excuse me, pardon me, say excuse me.
Excuse me.
Hey, pardon me, scar me. You look nice today.
You look great today.
I said nice.
You look nice today.
Okay, thank you. Okay. You got to get it right.
You look nice today.
I wasn't going to say that. I didn't. Did I? Okay, so let's pray. Bad follower. Just say, God knows where you are.
God knows where you are.
He's going to take care of you.
He's going to take care of you.
That's right. Amen. All right. Okay. Yeah, let's go this way. All right. Here. Let me go right there. All right. All right.
You're pushing him in front.
All right.
I hope this example works out.
Yeah, so do I. I hope the example works out, because look at your face. It's a little red. It's cute, but it's red. Just to let them know, God loves them with an everlasting love.
God loves you with an everlasting love.
Give him a big hug. Oh, isn't that good? All right, let's go that way. Okay, all right, keep going, keep going.
I'm praying for you.
Hey, okay, good job. All right, let's go this way. All right, now just that way. Keep going. Just a little further. Yeah, yep, keep going. A little further. A little further, a little further. All right, take a left.
Yep.
All right. Good job. There you go, Beck. Taking notes. Okay, so simple, right? Crazy in some ways, but the reality is what we need to notice and pay attention to is in our lives, sometimes God is leading. Sometimes God is just giving certain guidance. He's saying certain things for us, to us. And at the same time, God is nudging. And I can't find it anywhere in the scriptures, the word nudge. But I think that typically, my friend, Chris Holtberg, it's been years ago, he decided he was going to bungee jump, right? And so he's going to do it. So he goes to the place, he gets up in the really high tower, wherever it's at. I don't know exactly where it was. And he walks out onto this plank, this platform. So it had kind of rails on the side, and then it got out to this open space where you're supposed to stand, and you're supposed to cross your arms and jump. Well, he got out there. He had every intention on doing it, but when his mind was saying jump, his body was going, I ain't doing that. And so he's standing there, and the guy goes, you just lean over, just jump. And he goes, okay, and he's literally, have you ever scuba dived for the first time and tried to breathe underwater? It's like you go, because, it's just not normal. And standing as high as he was to jump. So he said this, the guy, and this is so hilarious. The guy already had a pole. There was a pole at the station. So this isn't the first time this has happened. Chris just goes like this. He goes, I think you're just going to have to push me. And so Chris said that the guy had the pole stuck in the middle of his back and just shoved him. He said he remembered going down, just going, and then he said he felt the tension of the bungee slip in, and he went, wah! Two different screams, right? And I think the thing that God, this is what I'm talking about, a nudge, because sometimes God is leading, God is direction. Sometimes God's getting us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's a little awkward. But yet, if we are walking where the Lord wants us to walk, doing the things that He wants to do, whether it's whether He's talking to you about it, whether He's got you by your hand leading, whether He's behind you pushing you, or you feel like He's just telling you what to do, we need to do all those things. Because this idea, Micah said, we walk humbly with our God. He told them, walk humbly with your God. And this idea of with has the idea of beside, alongside of, towards. So I am walking beside, alongside of. But I'm walking towards. It's towards wherever He's going, wherever He's leading me, whatever He's nudging me to do. So I think that sometimes as we get humility messed up in our head, because humility isn't about human temperament. It's not what this is talking about. I like because this, when you look it up, this word with, so besides, alongside of, toward, also has this thought or this idea, in spite of. Because as we are trying to follow God, lay down our life, sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes what He's asking us to do doesn't make sense. Sometimes what He wants us to do is awkward. Sometimes we wonder, so I could have taken Harrison and I could have taken him out of his seat and just marched him to the curtain. But that is not what I wanted out of Harrison. I wanted him to go a particular way, to do particular things for reasons I know about. And so as we are thinking about, see, God is here and we're here, and this idea of humility, again, it's not this human temperament. Humility comes about when men and women are with, we are abiding in Christ, we are being conformed into His image, we are living out this new life, we are living out a different life, it's a changed life. And sometimes in this changed life, we're going to be doing things. God is asking of us things. It's going, look, that's not who I am. That's not in me to do. I can't do that. I remember a friend of mine. We were going on and on about something for quite a long time about something that he needed to do. He wasn't doing because he says, look, the way that I was raised and who I'm as a kid, you know, that's nowhere near me. It's not in me. And every time he tried to explain away what he should be doing because he says it's not who he is. And I'm going, I just kept backing up. I go, so you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and life. You're born again, correct? Yes. Okay. Well, then let me just say, because of that, then it is in you. Now, it may feel very awkward to you. You might not think it's something that you think you need to do, but for whatever reason, God is nudging you in this particular way, you need to do that. That's humility. That's walking humbly with God, because you are walking beside, you are walking with, you are walking toward, and you're doing it in spite of whatever those things are. So, back up to this idea about the poor and disadvantaged. Collectively as a body here at Cross Life, I'm thinking about what are some of the things through the years that we've done, what are some things that we currently do or maybe possibly going to do, you know, concerning homeless ministry, doing Christmas for them that we've done on numerous occasions. We've given stuff to schools for supplies for various reasons, gone on missions trips, build houses, you know, done, but provided to dig a well for a community, Gabon. We gave money to help them build a land, to build a farm, to raise crop, to raise animals, so that the people there could learn how to become self-sufficient. So there's lots of different things that we've done, right? And there's lots of things that we will do. Now, I'm saying this because I'm saying, okay, individually and collectively, how can we make sure that we don't miss this? How can we make sure that we can pay attention to this when it comes up? Well, it's through this idea of us walking where God wants us to walk as individuals, because every one of those things I talked about, none of them were my idea. We didn't do them because of me saying this is what we need to do. We didn't do them because we sat down as a leadership team and said this is what we need to do. What happened was, it was because of an individual, because God had nudged an individual in a particular way. See, as a body, members one of another, we all have a vital part to play in what God is wanting us to do. Individually, in my own life, there will be things that I do, Denise and I do, that you will never know about that God wants us to do. There will be things that you do that we'll never know what you do concerning this. But there will be things that God is nudging you toward so that collectively we can participate in. We can be made aware of so that God can help inform us there, and it is under God's direction about what we want to do. So again, I want to say that there is just things in our culture around us. There are so many needs around us, and I'm sure that we could give to all the needs. But Lord, what are you saying to us as a body of Christ here? And again, the reason I bring this all up is because it was individuals that God nudged. And because he nudged those individuals who are connected to the body, we found a pathway to be obedient so that we could not miss this, so that we could have a heart toward, a view toward, and we could bless how God said bless, and where God wanted to bless those that were poor or marginalized or disadvantaged in some way. So just kind of thinking about these last weeks, you know, we started thinking about the sovereignty of God. We started after that talking about man's destiny, and we ended up with this thought of this, the human responsibility. We have a part to play. We have some responsibility in this grand scheme of what God is doing. So, you know, the requirements are pretty clear. They're not hidden. They're revealed right here. It's not complicated. It's pretty straightforward. Justice in defending the helpless, kindness in word and deed toward others, and humility in serving and following God. So here's what I would like for us to think through as a congregation, as a body, is what is God saying to you? How is God nudging you? Who are the people that he's bringing in front of you? Because I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that God is going to lead us through one of us. God is going to create opportunity through someone. So I'm not advocating that we have to figure something out in a week. I'm not rushing toward anything. What I'm trying to do is just open up this opportunity, this pathway, this whatever, because I feel like we need to do more. And I don't know what that more is. But I know collectively, as we're together, as we're praying together, as we're trying to honor God with our life, as we as individuals are trying to be beside, alongside of, moving in direction that God wants us to go, he will reveal to us what are the things or thing that we need to see maybe clear because he wants us to be involved with. Now, here's a beauty about all that. As God's in control of this and God does this thing, he just does some amazing things in the midst of the body. Remember when we were going to do We're going to go to El Salvador, and we're going to go on a missions trip. And through that, someone just said, let's make dresses. And then some from that said, well, we could do this. And we had a sweatshop going on in here making dresses. And all the participation that was going on and so many being involved and so many got to partner with it and give themselves to it. So what can we do to make sure we don't miss whatever God is wanting from us collectively? So, Father, this morning I'm asking that as we are here, we are your people, we are your body, and it's not like we're just rushing, we want to rush helter-skelter. We really are trying to say, Father, we believe that we exist to help people find Christ and place the body, the mission of the world. And so, Father, our mission of the world around us, what does that look like? What are you wanting of us? How do you want to use us? How do you want us to give ourselves away? How do you want to do that? I pray that you would just keep revealing that to us. It's not that we're leading a charge for social justice. It is we are living a life to honor you vertically. We are living a life so that you can use us horizontally in the world around us so that we can be an influence, so that you can flow through our lives through your love, compassion, and kindness to those around us. That ultimately, God, what happens is that you are glorified in our lives. And Father, we just thank you for that. We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory for your goodness and your faithfulness to us in Jesus' name. Listen, I'd encourage you to be praying about that, be talking to people. If God is really nudging you in a particular way, then we need to hear what that might look like. Okay? God bless.